from the front lines of the green rush. This is Green Entrepreneur, where business owners talk about how they found success in cannabis and how you can too. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Green Entrepreneur podcast. I'm your host, Jonathan Small, the editor-in-chief of greenentrepreneur.com and Green Entrepreneur Magazine. We've got a great show for you today. My guest is Erwin D. Simon, who is the chief executive officer of Aphria, which is one of the largest cannabis companies in the world. They're based in Ontario, Canada. And just to give you a perspective of Aphria's size, their grow facilities in Ontario are 2.5 million square feet. That's the equivalent of basically 350 football fields. I did the math. So prior to being CEO of Aphria, Erwin Simon founded the Hain Celestial Group, which is a major organic and natural products company. I mean, they are the brand behind Earth's Best, Arrowhead Mills, Celestial Seasoning, all the brands that you find on your Whole Foods shelves. As founder and president and chief executive officer and chairman of that company, Simon led them for almost 25 years, and he grew the business to a mere $3 billion in net sales. So we recorded this interview from the CWCBE Expo in Los Angeles in front of a live audience, and it was a fascinating conversation. Simon talks to me about the similarities between the health food business and cannabis, what he's learned from that business that he's applied to the cannabis business, his take on the crazy Canadian stock market, and where he sees the biggest opportunities in the cannabis market today. So before we talk about Aphria, I want to talk about you and your background, because it's very interesting, and a lot of people might not know, you know, who you were before. So talk about Hain Celestial and what it is. And I think when you talk about the brands that are under Hain, I mean, we see them in our Whole Foods and our Erewhons out here. So talk to us a little bit about that.
So I am, first of all, Canadian. Grew up in a little town in Nova Scotia.
Woo.
And moved to New York 37 years ago. And ultimately, I worked for Häagen-Dazs Ice Cream and then SlimFast. And in 1993, I found myself unemployed living in New York. And as a Canadian unemployed living in New York, and I'm glad Trump wasn't the president then, I would have got shipped back. But I decided that I was going to change the way the world eats and lives. And with the few dollars I had saved through working, I went out to start a Better For You food company, because I felt that the food that we were eating with GMOs, that was not natural, that was not organic, and had a lot of emulsifiers, additives, high fructose corn sweetener, was killing people, causing obesity, causing heart disease, and causing all these things. So in 1993, I went out and started the Hain Celestial Group, and basically what I did was a roll-up of natural foods, personal care, protein products around the world. And ultimately, if you walked into a Whole Foods or an Erewhon, whether it was Earth's Best, Terra Chips, Celestial Seasonings, Jason's, Avalon, Alba, Arrowhead Mills, The Bowl, Spectrum, we had over 1,700 products. And with that, I spent 25 years doing it, building it to a $3.5 billion company, and at its height, $7 billion in market cap, and selling products in over 65 countries around the world. So after 25 years, it was time to do something different. And, you know, I've always looked at the cannabis world and a lot of similarities. And even walking around here today reminds me of going to the early days of the Natural Organic Food Show. So that's who I am, and that's how I got my start. And the big thing about Hain was about brands, is about plant-based products. And again, the only thing I come back, the natural organic food industry was only a $60 billion industry. I look at the whole cannabis world today about being a $150 billion opportunity. So it's almost three times the size if you look on a global basis.
So it's so interesting. So you're seeing what you saw back in the day in the organic foods industry here today. What are some of the things that people are doing right? Let's start with right first, and what are some of the mistakes that industry made that maybe we can avoid making this time? But let's start with what are we doing right now?
So I think important of anything, one of the big things early on in the natural organic food industry, there was no standards for organic, you know, and you could just call anything organic. no one understood what GMOs were, genetically modified ingredients. There was no standards for natural. I think what's important today, and that's what we're dealing with, what are the standards for CBD? What products can it be used in? And the same with what is legal, what is not legal. Canada today, cannabis from a rec standpoint is legal. It's heavily regulated by Health Canada. I think what's also important is this here, in regards to the greenhouses and the growers, that we're putting out good quality products that consumers can trust, that are heavily regulated, have the right strains, the ingredients are right, and what's in the package is labeled and the consumers know what we're getting. Because basically, where's the opportunity here? The opportunity for growth is taking sales away from the illicit market, and how are we going to do that? So what this industry's got to make sure, it has consumers believing in it, it's heavily regulated, it's trusted, because the first thing out of the gate is, you know, cannabis was a drug and cannabis was something illegal. So how do we make sure we have everybody that's buying the product trusting the product and know that they're buying what they basically think they're getting?
And it's even more important now with, you know, what's happening in this country with all these vape-related illnesses and deaths. A lot of people aren't distinguishing that that is coming from the black market,
exactly,
not from the legal market.
And I think that's, again, it's the same, you know, I go back to the food industry. When there was food recalls out there for Listeria or Salmonella, it would put a black eye on a lot of foods because it wasn't cleaned right, it wasn't processed right, etc. And again, there's a black eye right now over the whole vaping industry. And what's going on out there, it is the illicit market with adulterated oils that are going into these products, or there is the vaping pens that are coming from China and that are not approved, is where all these sicknesses and illnesses, and that's not what we want. And I think it comes back to say why this market's got to be regulated.
Yeah. That seems like a business opportunity there, right? Like the certified, there's no certified organic equivalent really in like a standardized, at least in this country. In Canada, is there one?
So there's no certified, but because cannabis is legal in the U.S., in Canada, and because it is regulated and approved by Health Canada, and you have to have a license to produce, and it's got to be in a licensed facility, and Health Canada does checks on your facility. The other thing is, at Aphria today, we have five brands. So we have the Soleil brand, we have the Rift brand, the Good Supply, Broken Coast, and Aphria. So you know when you're buying a product, whether it's a vape, whether it's a pre-roll, whether it's a flower, whether it's a spray, you know what you're getting, a product that has been approved, that's gone through regulatory, and a product that's gone through quality, you know your strains. You're not buying out of an illicit market, out of a baggie, that you're paying, you know, $5 or $10 for, you know what you're getting.
Okay, so let's talk about Aphria. Aphria is one of the top four biggest cannabis companies in the world, or in Canada for sure, in the world, I think. It's a huge company. How does it distinguish itself from the canopy growths and the other big companies in the market?
So Aphria, you know, as you say, we have five brands. We have 2.5 million square feet of growing in Leamington, Ontario. We have in Vancouver, and we have operations all around the world. We'll do close to $1 billion in sales this year. By 2021, we'll be on a run rate just to do $1 billion in Canada. So how do we distinguish ourselves? Number one is to be a great grower of products, a low-cost producer of products, and ultimately what we're going to see is more and more, you know, LPs that come on the market, is pricing is going to be important here. A quality producer, listen, you think about it. Who has ever grown 2.5 million square feet or 265,000 kilos of cannabis in a greenhouse and got it right? And we don't want mold. We don't want mildew. We want products that grow and have good yield. So how are we going to be that low-cost producer? How are we going to grow products with great strains? How are we going to differentiation in products? How are we going to innovate products? The biggest thing that we need to do, and one of the things in Canada, you really can't advertise your products. But on the other hand, how do you keep this product out of the hands of kids, et cetera? But how do you make sure you market it and educate from a recreational standpoint, from what the product needs to be used for? If the product needs to be used from a medical standpoint, how do you do that? So that's something that we are making sure we do, is invest back in the community where we can, educate our customers on the product, and educate our customers of why the product needs to be used in the right, safe manners.
Yeah. So when you came into Aphria, it wasn't smooth sailing. It wasn't like, hey, it was a tough transition, right? There was a lot of clouds over the company at that time.
And they were not smoke clouds. Okay?
They were not. They were a different type of cloud.
They were black clouds.
Black clouds, not the good kind of clouds.
A lot of thunder roaring.
So set that scenario. So when you see, here you're running this very successful organic foods company, and then you, natural foods company, and then you go over, why? Why would you go over to this kind of company that's really in turmoil?
That's what my wife asked me. So a couple things. You know, I'm someone who loves a challenge. I love opportunities. And as I said before, I, you know, really was focusing on the cannabis world. In December, and I said this here after doing 105 earnings calls and being a public company CEO and chairman for 25 years, it was great to get away from the public markets. And with that, when Aphria had its issues, and I got a call from a board member asking me, I said, no. But I got there in mid-December, and number one is there was a short report that came out. There was a hostile takeover. The C-suite was in turmoil. The stock had dropped 40-50%. You had morale within the employees. You had customers worried what was going to happen. You had some balance sheet challenges out there. And this seemed like a challenge that I was ready for. So I became chairman of the board in late December and oversaw with a special committee a review. And at the end of the day, what the review called for was the CEO to leave the company and two of the founders. And as of March 1st, I became the CEO. And with that was, how do you grab control of everything? And that's what I was able to step into. We had some incredible facilities. We had some great licenses around the world. The great thing that I was very, very fortunate is to have a good management team within Aphria that I could work with, plus bring in some of my management team from Hain and pull it all together. Our fourth quarter that ended the end of May, we had a very successful quarter with 156% growth. We were one of the first cannabis companies to become profitable. We built our balance sheet with over $700 million of cash. And we came out and said next year, we're gonna do close to $700 million in revenue and earn close to $100 million. So made some bold predictions, taken some bold steps, and I'm having fun and enjoying what I'm seeing there. But the big thing is this here. Aphria is built around its brands, its people, its grow, and we're a public company today that has over 250 million outstanding shares. And at the end of the day, how do we give back to shareholders?
And when people talk about the Canadian market, particularly the big five like you, they tend to say these billion valuations of billions, that it's very overvalued. The market in general in Canada seems to be very overvalued, and there's going to be a reckoning and there's going to be a leveling. Do you agree with that forecast, or what's your response to that?
I absolutely agree, because it comes back today, the value of Uber or the value of Lyft today, that these companies do great revenue and make no money. A lot of these cannabis businesses do $20 million a year, and they got a market cap of $300-400 million. I mean, math is math. Something doesn't add up here, okay? So I think the valuations are at a line. I think what you're going to see here is there's over 200 LPs in Canada today. I think either a lot of these companies are going to go away or there's going to be mergers. But back to the point that these companies got to start making money, or you're not going to keep investor interest and you're never going to see the values. Unfortunately, I think a lot of either founders or CEO, they went public at $4, their stock is at $1 today, and they're saying, well, I want to get back to my $4.
Yeah.
I'm not sure that's happening.
So what were the practices that you brought from Hain, that you had learned at Hain that were successful, that you brought over to Aphria, that even a small business owner could apply to their business? I mean, you know, obviously we're dealing with a $1 billion company here, but even there's basic business 101 lessons that you probably brought to that industry that...
Listen, there's nothing... I didn't grow up in the cannabis industry, and after 25 years of experience, I saw I've seen everything within a company today. I, as a CEO, was an operating CEO, hands-on, and I think the big thing is coming back. Number one is putting in place good KPIs, good processes that allows you to measure things. One of the first things that I put in place here, I worked with a major consulting firm, is what is our strategic plan? What do we want to be? Are we a grower? Are we a seller of brands? Are we, you know, in the medical business, the rec business, et cetera? So first and foremost was, what was our strategy? That was number one. Number two is, do I have the right people in what places? Number three is, what are the systems and processes? Number four is, we're a public company. And as shareholders and having a public company today, what is good corporate governance to put in place there, and it's not being run by a bunch of insiders? And one of the big things at Aphria is, there was a lot of good within there, but we had a bunch of silos. With anything, you can't run a business today where there's a bunch of silos and these are not being pulled together. So with my years of experience, it was pulling this together and ultimately getting the team together on the same goals. What's the strategy? What's our objectives? What are we good at? What are we not? And we had trouble growing. Again, we were ultimately had growers that were used to growing tomatoes, cucumbers, green peppers, etc. Big difference in growing cannabis than growing green peppers and tomatoes, okay? There's a whole difference in the sunlight, the dark, the mothers, etc. And where do you find the expertise? There's not a lot of expertise out there that's growing 2.5 million square feet of cannabis.
Yeah, so, where did you find that expertise?
Well, it's interesting because I went out and got rid of a bunch of growers, and Leamington being one of the top greenhouse growers of fruits and vegetables, we pulled a team together in Leamington, and we pulled a major group of people together to help us with this here. It's interesting too, we were spending $12 million on bugs a quarter.
Wow.
And again, it's coming back like, why are we doing this? What are we doing? Because you have to have bugs to eat the bad bugs and the good bugs. And here's the other thing is, cannabis in Canada was only basically, from a legalization standpoint, happened in October 17, 2018. Medical was before. So there was a big learning curve here.
Yeah.
So this is not like the technology industry that was around for many, many years. You had an industry that was just legalized 10 months ago. You had so many unknowns about growing cannabis, and everybody thought we would have supply October 17th, you would open up the floodgates and you would have supply like that, and nobody was able to supply. So with that, and there was not like, I'm gonna steal people from this company, that company that's gonna help me, there just wasn't the talent out there, and how did you bring it together?
Yeah, and it's interesting, so you hire people from outside the cannabis industry to help, who had expertise, like agricultural, growing
right.
expertise to help. And I feel like that opportunity is available to anybody in any business. You know, maybe you're a good marketing person, you could come and help a cannabis company, right? And bring your what you've learned in that industry previously and cross over, apply it to cannabis.
You hire people you know, you have, I'm a big believer in two things when you hire people, it's competency and loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
So we hired a lot of different people within our greenhouses. In regards to distribution, we brought in top distribution people.
And not necessarily cannabis distribution.
Not necessarily yeah. cannabis, because
yeah.
we're shipping all over Canada. In regards to regulatory products and getting products released from regulatory, we brought in people from there. We brought in quality in regards. And the big thing, if you want to make money in cannabis, it's the yield and how much you're going to grow the plant. And if it comes back to the flower, what you want to do is get a full blossom flower, because that's where you're getting your quality. And that's where you're getting your yields, and that's where you're gonna ultimately make the most amount of money. So it was pulling all that team together, systems-wise, and we just went ahead with a new ERP system that we just launched and spent millions of dollars on systems that you could keep track of your numbers, keep track of your yield. You gotta be able to bill customers, you gotta be able to collect your money and all that. So, you know, $1 billion is not a small business.
Yeah.
And the other big thing is this here, we also have a medical business. How did we market to the doctors? How did we market to the clinics? How did we deal with the insurance companies? Were all things that we had to do.
So one of the headlines of our talk is corporate culture transformation. Talk to me a little bit about how you built a culture where you are now. Did you bring some of the culture from where you were previously into this culture? And you know, is the cannabis company culture different than other traditional cultures? I mean, are there different kinds of clouds?
So, a real good question, because at Hain, I'll never forget when I bought Celestial Seasons, located in Boulder, Colorado. Individuals that worked there wore shorts, Birkenstocks, and that to work every day. And we worked out of New York, which is a lot different. And it's not so much the culture and what I always said, I would never New Yorkize Boulder and you never Boulderize New York. So our greenhouses are in Leamington, Ontario, small town, you know, in Western Ontario, or in Ontario. Toronto was our headquarters. We had operations in Germany, South America. But I think it's bringing together the culture of what's the winning strategy. And that is this here, how do you be entrepreneurial? How do you be nimble? How do you be flexible? And what's the strategy? And I think whether Canopy, Constellation, or Altria with Kronos, you can't bring in a big corporate America strategy within these companies because they need to be entrepreneurial. They are startups, and how do you treat them like that? Mm-hmm. So I think it's important to define what your own culture needs to be and not saying we're going to have a corporate culture. We're going to dress. Here's our dress each day. Here's the way we're going to do things. And very much so with Afria, it's basically how do we button things down? But our culture is today, we're nimble, we're flexible, we're entrepreneurial, but we all live by one mission statement. And that is, you know, we're growing great things. We have great brands. We have great people. How do we give back to the community? We have a major sustainability program that we work with the community. One of the big things in Leamington, we're one of the biggest employers there. We do a lot within the town, and how do we give back in that? So there's a lot of components to make sure you're getting your right messaging across. And in the Canadian market, you can't advertise anything here. So how do you get your message across without running TV ads? You know, I know Canopy or one of them wanted to run ads or, you know, on the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and that got kiboshed, okay? You just can't do that like you do in the alcohol industry, is run ads and bring awareness that way.
So what do you do?
So again, you saw our video today. We do a lot of social media. We have a lot of followers on our brands out there. We work with our retailers as they go into stores and get them to educate our brands, our PR, our communications group. And just being here today talking about Afria and talking about it as much as I can is getting that message out there. So that's the biggest
thing. That really applies whether you're a huge company or a small company. It's the same challenges.
Well, and the thing is, listen, that's what the thing about a huge company or a small company, you can't put your head in the sand and sit in a boardroom and think I'm going to get my message out here, is getting our products out to the stores, working with retailers, working with the control boards. You know, I just came back from Buenos Aires, Argentina, where we're working with a major hospital over there in regards to epilepsy and doing a lot with CBD. And I got to tell you something, it broke my heart to see these young kids that have 300 seizures a day and getting out there. And today, there's some having no seizures. We're working with this young child in the UK that was having 35 seizures a day and letting them be on CBD and that. They're no longer getting any seizures, and getting those stories out there and is something that helps get the word out about the benefits of cannabis.
Yeah. So for the little guy, they might see a company like yours and be like, how do I compete? You know, these enormous greenhouses and this tremendous distribution and you're all over the world. Is there room for the little guy in the cannabis business anymore, or is it are they all going to get swallowed up?
Listen, I think there is room for the little guy in any business today. But I think with anything, you got to be... have your niche. If you're just going to be a Me Too brand, you're just going to sell pre-rolls, you're just going to sell a vape, you're going to sell flower, it's going to be difficult because I'm not sure you're going to be able to compete on size, scale, etc. But, you know, I walk around here today, there's a lot of little interesting companies out there. And that was one of the things at Hain. I found these small, interesting companies, bought them, and brought it into the big structure. So I think for the little guy is, how do you find something unique? How do you build it, potentially sell it to me, or sell it to us, and then what do we do with it afterward?
Well, that's interesting. So what did you look for, like even at Hain or even where you are now, what is it that you see in a company that makes you want to invest in it?
So whether it was Earth's Best Baby Food that a lot of you here that probably fed your baby, it was a $14 million business. It was organic baby food, and you're feeding infants and toddlers their first foods. Terra Chips, which was a unique vegetable root chip that was unique and different, just not a potato chip. And as I walk around here today, what's different and unique? And if we put our marketing dollars behind it, we put our distribution dollars behind it. How do we grow it into a bigger business? And that's the big thing. How can you? I look for things that we can acquire, that we could scale up into a bigger business.
What are some of the opportunities coming down the pike? What are you guys investing in? What do you see as other business opportunities for the people in this room that are maybe a year ahead?
So I come back and say this here, a couple things. Anybody in this room, I think I like what Congress just passed on the Bank Act right now. Hopefully the Senate and President Trump signs off on that. I think in regards to edibles, in regards to drinks, is a big opportunity. I still say there's a big opportunity in vape. I am also very, very focused, and I feel there's such a big opportunity still in the whole medical part of it. Listen, I think medication is horrible for you. You know, I was with someone the other day, and we're talking about statins that come from cholesterol drugs, and everybody gets put on these drugs to lower their cholesterol. And what is causing today Parkinson's disease and stuff like that? And where's the research? So I think in coming back from a medical standpoint in regards to cannabis and the application. Listen, I walk around here today, I've seen some great skincare products that make you look younger. I got rid of the bags under my eyes, some of those, you know, et cetera. So I think there's some tremendous, and at Hain in 2004, I went into the personal care business because products contained phthalates, petroleum, had all these chemicals in it. And that was one of the first, but I come back with CBD in regards to from a skin, from a cure, from a pain, there's some big, big opportunities. I come back in regards to, you know, drinks. Those out there today know products called Truly or White Claw, which is a vodka soda drink that is over $1 billion in sales today. I think with CBD and with mixed drinks in that way, where there's relaxation, where there is, helps with anxiety, helps with energy, there's a big opportunity there. So there is a lot of opportunity. And you know what's interesting today? A lot of different universities are offering cannabis courses in regards to that. If you go to a lot of the major hospitals today, there's tons and tons of research going on involving cannabis. So there is lots of opportunities out there, and it's ultimately finding the right niche. It's no different than a Beyond Meat and the plant-based burger. It's no different than almond milk, soy milk, rice milk, where basically it comes from a seed or it comes from the cannabis root, and how do we turn it into some type of drink? So there's so many opportunities out there.
What about the different, like, we always talk about indica and sativa, you know, and THC and CBD. Have you guys been looking at the, you know, the CDNs and the different
strains,
cannabinoids?
Absolutely. And I think there's not only the different strains or different applications for it, and there's a lot of R&D, and that's where you come back. Unfortunately, the bigger companies, which they have the benefit, is the research that goes on here. And that's one of the big things that we have to do here, is have science behind a lot of this to support the legitimacy of the industry and ultimately to make the claims. And I'm somebody who is not about hocus pocus, just make a claim for the sake of selling the product. If you're gonna make a claim, how can you support it? And what are some of the studies that you've done to get behind it? And that's some of the advantages of some of the bigger companies.
So we have this problem in this country because it's federally illegal. The research is very limited on cannabis and what we can do. The universities can't really study it, can't get federal grants, et cetera. So, you know, we look to countries like Israel, who has a tremendous
technology. And there was an Israeli company here today that I spent some time with in regards to it, and tremendous research coming out.
What about Canada, though?
Well, but again, that you got to remember this year. We've been legal for a year, and the company's got to invest in that. And that's something today, as we have worked with epilepsy, we have worked with anxiety, we have worked with pain on a lot of this, and we'll get behind it. And we are working with a lot of partners, like I said. In regards to Europe today, there's no country in Europe. Luxembourg is going to become legal from a rec standpoint, and Uruguay. So everywhere else in Europe or South America, it is only medical where it's going to be legal.
Yeah.
And in the U.S. today, there's 33 states where medical is legal. So for it to be legal and for us to have any traction, we're going to have to do a lot of research.
Yeah.
And a lot of clinical studies to make sure there is a market out there, because we just can't say, smoke this and I'm going to be cured.
Right.
We got, and if the doctors are going to prescribe it, Right. They got to know what they're prescribing it for.
I want to open it up to questions from the audience. We have a mic set up right here. So if anybody would like to ask a question and be brave enough to step up to the mic. Yeah, our first brave person.
I will break the ice. Hi. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
My mom had Alzheimer's disease for 9 years. And through her journey, we learned that cannabis helps dementia, the symptoms of dementia, better than anything else available on the market. Doctors in Northern California are using a one-to-one. Another nurse at another conference earlier this week uses a lot less. Are you guys finding anything like that in Canada? Are people using cannabis to help the symptoms of dementia in Canada?
So, good question and something very close to my heart. My mother this year passed away and she did have dementia. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because when I'd visit her in the hospital, and even though she wasn't aware, when I would have a vape and I would blow smoke in her face, she would have a smile on her face and open up her eyes, okay? Hmm. And not that I was doing any clinical research or whatever, but it showed me. My wife's, whose mother passed away from Alzheimer's, and she's very much involved with Alzheimer's. And let me tell you, there is a lot of research out there today, and there's stuff we're working on, and that's a big movement on my part of where we can do it. So, yes, listen, and, you know, I was just with a bunch of doctors on that, and they think there's going to be a pill or a vape or something in the next 5 years that could come out that could help with this here. But I agree with you.
They don't have to wait.
I know, but I agree with you. And again, I come back and I say this here. It's not so much where's the cure. Where is this coming from? And I think, again, it's a lot of these medicines that have been prescribed. And that is where this is coming from. And number one, we got to get away. Look how long oxycodone, look how long we've been prescribing these drugs. And personally, I had knee surgery once, and after I had it, I took an oxycodone for the pain, and I was hallucinating like crazy, and it was something I would never do in my life again, I'd rather. So I've come back and sort of say, wait now, we got to shut a lot of these drug companies down in regards to these medicines. And
statins,
the effects
are
statins,
proved
terrible.
To cause
and I come
dementia.
Back and think they're one of the worst things, and one of the first thing you do if your cholesterol is X, put you on a Lipitor, change your diet and get some exercise out there, forget taking Lipitor, and that's the way it's sold.
Yeah.
So I come back and say this is a big focus of ours, and again, I was just appalled by the focus and attention when I was in Argentina with the doctors. We're working with a major pharmaceutical company over there. And that will be a big message of mine. And I'd love to talk to the afterbirds about Alzheimer's and
that.
That'd
be great.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Thank you. Hello.
Congratulations. It seems like you're the new Edgar Bronfman of the cannabis industry. So, my name's Alan Stone. I'm with Wall Street Research. And we just hired a top cannabis analyst a couple of weeks ago. He just did a technical analysis of your shares. A few days ago, I'll give you a copy of that. It looks like you might have a large short position in the stock. Do you have any thoughts on that or comments on that? That might be some of the reasons why the stock's been falling.
You know, listen, I come back and I say this here in regards to a short position, and I think that was brought to my attention, and I looked at our short position. I think it's about 12% of our shares right now are shorted. If you look at some of the other companies, there are some pretty big short positions too. As we did a convert in late April, and when you do a convert, it's usually you do see a short position. But again, shorts are good for stocks because if you're doing the right thing and you hit your numbers, they're going to have to cover and it's going to drive your stock up. So if you're not doing the right things and you're going to miss numbers and you're going to go out there and stuff is going to happen, the shorts are going to be a winner. So I've always been, the shorts are out there, and they're going to have to become buyers at one time because they're going to have to cover.
And you're currently profitable, I think you mentioned?
So we were profitable last quarter in our fiscal 2020 numbers. We plan to be profitable in our full fiscal year.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You can go next. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Michael Howard, LA Cannabis News. Thanks very much for your interview and presentations.
Thank you.
Been very interesting and really appreciate your open and honest answers. So you mentioned sustainability at one point, and given the sort of situation the planet seems like it's in at the moment. To me, it seems sort of more important than ever in history. And I know you came from a natural product background and organic, so you're sort of down for the cause. But specifically with the company, what initiatives are you currently have or are you planning for next year to be, you know, maximize sustainability?
You know, it's interesting. This morning I was watching the news, what's going on here in California now, where the wine growers and the cannabis growers, you know, are having a battle over pesticides, etc. And number one is we do not use any pesticides in regards to growing our products. In regards to sustainability, and there is somebody behind you who is our chief communication officer, is in charge of our whole sustainability program. And it's in regards to our water supply, it's regards to reusing our plants that we're doing, how we're shipping our products, etc., our emissions. And one of the big things is our greenhouse emissions today and what we're doing. We do not grow outside today because, again, it's from a standpoint there, it's the whole thing with spraying and pesticides, etc. So we do have in place today a major sustainability program in regards to reusable, what we're recycling, our waters, etc., and that is a big thing. We're a plant-based company, and the big thing is, what's our emissions in the air? What are we doing in regards to our climate control? And it's something that Afria is all over today and have a full sustainability program in place.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Last question. Thanks.
Hi, I'm Mark Ross from Harvest. One of the challenges you'd mentioned when you jumped into this role was that you were in a highly siloed organization. I'm sure it comes as no surprise. We, as a multi-state operator, involved in a lot of different things, cultivation, retail, manufacturing, brand development, also have some of those challenges. How did you overcome those challenges?
So I guess, you know, it's a good question because today I'm a grower, I'm a marketer of brands, I have to ship my products. And with that, how do you pull it all together? Because at the end of the day, how do you get that finished product out? Okay. And how do I get products on the shelves of your stores? And again, it's having that common denominator, because one of the big problems I had, everybody was doing this, pointed to the other person whose responsibility it is. At the end of the day, the CEO, he's in charge. You saw the CEO of Juul lose their job. You saw the CEO of WeWork lose their job because of this here. So someone's got to be accountable. And when you're accountable, you better have good people with you, working with you. And again, what is the plan? And if not, the CEO should be replaced and somebody in there that's going to be accountable and make sure that he or she got good people with them to deliver what they're supposed to be. And again, I think one of the big things is this here. In your business, there's a lot, being a multi-state operator, and every business today, there's complexity. How do you take complexity out of the business? And, you know, we got to grow, we got to process, we got to package, we got to ship, we got to get paid, we got to hire employees. One of the big things today, growing cannabis in South America, where they make $300 a month there, and we are paying $15, $17 an hour and finding labor today. So again, how do you package it that we're going to be able to execute on our plan? And if you have a lot of complexity, you're never going to be able to do it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, everyone. Erwin Simon, thank you so much for doing this panel.
Thank you.
Discussion.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Green Entrepreneur Podcast. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and other podcast hosting services. Check us out at greenentrepreneur.com. Download our app at Green Entrepreneur. Check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We are everywhere, and we would love to hear from you. So please give us a shout out. Love to hear from our audience. Until then, we'll THC you later.